verse 16 through 20. We're going to look especially at verse 19 this morning because I want to say a word about what is going on up here with all this water back there and this dunking and these testimonies and this thing called Christian baptism. What is that? What is baptism and what isn't it? What is it not? Whenever I teach my baptism class, and these two have recently gone through it with me, we always start with a little thing where I say what baptism is not. I always go out of my way to say baptism is not necessary for salvation, nor saving in itself. Baptism is not necessary for salvation, nor saving in itself. Can you think of anybody in the New Testament who was saved and became a follower of Christ and was not baptized? I can. It's hard to do because the normal pattern in the New Testament is to trust in Jesus, become saved, and then get baptized. It happens over and over again in the book of Acts. Saved, baptized, belief, baptism. But what about the thief on the cross? Did he believe? Yes, he did. Did his life change? Yes, it did. Very short life, but it changed. He went from hurling insults at Jesus to asking Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And what did Jesus say? I am sorry, buddy, but you never got baptized, so you can't be saved. No, that's not what he said. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. So, baptism does not save you. It's not magic. It doesn't transform you from unsaved to saved. Jesus does that. The amazing grace of Jesus does that through faith in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Baptism is not necessary for salvation nor saving in itself. So, remind me again why we do it. Why are Dottie Isaacson and Keith Hurley doing this today? And by the way, John Walter was supposed to be baptized this morning as well. John was so disappointed that his accident is keeping him from being with us all here today and sharing his testimony with you. I told him we'd do it again when he's ready again. Pray for him. But why are we doing this today? Here's the answer. Because Jesus says so. Look down at Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20. Let me read it to you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Would you pray with me? Father, we've sung the gospel over and over again this morning. We've sung of its glories, of the story of it, and how it has changed our life, our identity, and our forever, our future. Help us, Lord, to remind ourselves of this now while we're preaching, how the gospel relates to baptism. Because it's not about water. It's not even about, ultimately, people. It's about you. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what you are doing in our lives. I pray, Father, for John, who can't be with us today. I pray that you give him peace and joy. Thank you that he's doing so well after having been in an accident like that. We pray that you bring him back to us soon and that he would have an opportunity soon to do what Keith and Dottie are doing this morning. I pray for Keith and Dottie as they share their testimonies with us, that they would be empowered and hopeful and joyful and bold. And I pray, Lord, now that you'd focus in our mind here on this little paragraph of your holy word and what it sets out for us today. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love how authentic the Gospel of Matthew is. Now, if I were writing this, if this was the Gospel of Matthew Mitchell, I would have never included verse 17. All that stuff in there about doubt, I would have swept that under the rug and hidden it away. Look at this again, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, that's minus Judas now, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, just after he had been resurrected. He gave these instructions. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I love that. Now, I don't love that they doubted, but I love that Matthew tells us the real history. Some of them doubted. That's what happened. The way I picture it, they were approaching slowly, not quite believing what their eyes were telling them. Can Jesus really be alive? I know that he was dead. I saw him die. I know he was buried. He was totally dead. Can this be true? And it is. Because he speaks. Look at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. He walks right up to them. And he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Stop right there for a second. Do you remember how Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. As one with what? Authority. Do you remember the authority we saw Jesus exercise in Matthew chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11? Forgiving sins, stilling the sea, healing the leper, bringing back people from the dead, sending the demons out. Well, on this side of the resurrection, Jesus says that he has all of the authority that there is. I mean, when you say all authority in heaven and on earth, that about covers it, right? And so what does King Jesus, with all of this authority, command his followers to do? One central command: go and make disciples. Go and make more followers of Jesus Christ. What has been the title of our sermon series for this last year and a kind of our theme for the year? Following Jesus. Back there on the screen, right? Following Jesus. First slide every Sunday. Following Jesus. That's what we've been doing and what we're helping others to do. Do you remember our first Hide the Word verse from 2018? Marilyn has put a little quiz in the back of your bulletin this morning for you to fill in the words. It was Matthew 4:19. Come, what? Follow me, Jesus said. And what? I will make you fishers of men. See, that's our mission. That's what we're here to do. When Jesus has all the authority in heaven and on earth, this is what he tells the church to do. Go and make disciples. Make disciples of Jesus Christ under the complete authority of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot to it. The Gospel of Matthew has a lot to say here. We've been studying it closely, and we've only made it through 13 chapters. But it starts with what Jesus started his ministry with. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your sins and trust in the King that has come. And how do you mark that repentance and that faith? We come to verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups around the world, even central Pennsylvania, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you go. That's what we're doing here this morning. We are publicly marking out these two people as disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're doing it because Jesus said to. Did you notice who is supposed to be baptized according to verse 19? Is everyone in the world supposed to be baptized? No, it says that we are to baptize the disciples. Look at verse 19 again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Who's the them? It's these disciples, these newly made disciples from out of the nations. Baptizing the newly made disciples in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Kevin, could I have the next slide? Now, both of these people, Dottie Isaacson and Keith Hurley, were raised in traditions that performed a rite of baptism on them when they were infants. And Christians have been doing that in various traditions for over 1,000 years. Perhaps you've experienced that yourself in a previous church tradition. This was not just dedications or blessings like we did last week, but they called them baptisms and they included water. Perhaps you believe that is that to be a biblical practice. Some of my best friends, including some of my best pastor friends who believe the same gospel I do, believe the same way. And by being baptized today, neither Dottie nor Keith intend any disrespect to their parents or to any of their brothers and sisters who disagree on this point of theology. They're thankful for those who love them and took them to church presented them to the Lord. But both of them have come to be convinced of what is called believer's baptism or disciples' baptism, which I too think is the more biblical practice. The command given to the apostles and the church in the Great Commission is to make disciples and then baptize the disciples. Not the people you want to become disciples, but those you believe have become disciples. So another thing I say in all of our baptism classes, we don't go up to the marketplace on Saturdays with super soakers and spray folks as they come out from buying their groceries and say, "Hey, you're baptized now." No, we tell people about Jesus. They repent of their sins. They trust in Jesus and begin to follow Jesus. And we say, "Hooray, you're a disciple. You need to be baptized as one." That's what we're doing here today. We believe that these two people are disciples, faith followers of Jesus Christ. And they have come to the church and they've said, "Please mark us out as disciples. We want to go public with our discipleship the way Jesus said to. We want to follow Jesus in water baptism." You remember when Jesus was baptized in chapter 3? Remember how he said John the Baptist didn't want to do it? And Jesus said, no, we've got to do it because it will fulfill all righteousness. Jesus there was identifying with us when he went down into the water and then came back up. We get baptized now to identify with him. Look at verse 19 again. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," the disciples, "in the name," one name, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now that's interesting, isn't it? Three names listed there, but really just one name? What does that remind you of? Remember who was there at Jesus' baptism? Jesus was there. Obviously, he was getting baptized, the Son. Was the Holy Spirit at his baptism? Yeah, descending on him like a dove. And then the Father, with his booming voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now Jesus says, use this name when you baptize these disciples, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is identifying with the triune God. When Dottie and Keith are laid back into the water, they're identifying with the triune God, especially through the Son of God in his death and his resurrection, right? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising again, I'm justified freely forever. Buried into his death, resurrected into his life. This, of course, is not the end of their discipleship, but a symbol of its beginning. Now, I'll let them tell their own stories, but both of them have actually known the Lord for some time. They just have never told the world in the way that Jesus here commands. And they want to fix that. So they're getting baptized. But this is a symbol of their discipleship. Because Jesus doesn't stop with their baptism, and neither should the church. That's why verse 20 follows verse 19. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's what a disciple does. A disciple learns to obey everything Jesus says to do. Not just the stuff we want to do, but everything. Even to take up our own crosses. That's why Marilyn has put the next Hide the Word verse for us to learn starting next week. Matthew 16:24, which we're soon going to come to. Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. These two people have counted the cost of discipleship and have said, count me in. It will not always be easy. I mean, that phrase, take up your cross. I don't know about you, but I don't like hearing that. I like that he took up his cross. I like that he took up my cross. But take up my cross? It will not always be easy. But they will not ever be alone. Because Jesus ended verse 20 by saying, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the verse on the banner that hangs right above our door as we go out every Sunday. We go out to accomplish this mission, reminded that surely Jesus is with us always to the very end of the age. Dottie, Keith, as you take this step of discipleship, and this church affirms your discipleship, you can know that you're never going to be alone. We will walk with you in following Jesus, and more importantly, Jesus will walk with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray for these two as they come up here, and they can share their stories with us. If you two want to come up here and maybe sit on the first pew. Unbeknownst to them, I've also asked a couple of their friends and loved ones to share a little testimony of what they've seen of God's work in their lives as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Dottie and for Keith and for their taking this step of discipleship this morning. I pray, Father, as they share their stories with us, that they would be encouraged to look back and say, this is what the Lord has done. I'm now following Him in faith. I pray, Father, for all of us that we would encourage and affirm them in their walk. And I thank you that you have not only given us this great commission, but you've given us your own presence. And that it will never be taken away from us. You will hold us fast. He will be with us always to the very end of the age. I pray, Father, for anyone who has not yet trusted in Jesus as these two have. I pray that they would turn from their sins. They repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And they put their faith on Jesus and what He did for them at the cross. And they begin a life of faith. They begin to be disciples. And that we would teach them everything that you want us to do. And they would follow you by faith. Would you do that, Lord, in somebody's heart this morning? I pray for each one and for encouragement and joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ladies first.